Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a problem for a cereal.
A huge problem.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog, I believe I've been remiss today not bringing to you an opportunity to discuss Bob Uecker and his iconic role on your favorite all-time show, Mr. Belvedere. I think a lot of people who go back with us are wondering, why haven't you yet today discussed Mr. Belvedere, which you so love to bring up?
This is tough to have to admit, especially with a guest waiting to talk to us. But I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Mr. Belvedere. Mm. I just liked it as a match game answer.
What's the origin story then?
I just liked it as a match game answer. I have to go back to the tapes from 18 years ago. I don't know why I started saying Mr. Belvedere.
Okay.
I really don't remember.
You know, Joe Ostrowski with us on the West Shore Hotline, you might, just to start a conversation, you might ask somebody that you know loves sports, were you a Bob Uecker fan? Could anybody not have been a Bob Uecker fan, right? Like, I don't know. I'm somebody that, like, I take my announcers pretty seriously, and he was always looking to make you laugh, you know, or not always, but certainly he was about that. Doing playoff games for NBC like he did and ABC. But I don't know, Joe, like you had to love Uecker, right?
And Mr. Belvedere.
No matter what Bulldog says.
Once it got into syndication a little bit. Yeah, that was my reaction, that I've never heard anyone say a negative word about Bob Uecker. And it's driving distance from here, so a handful of times go up to Milwaukee, which is a really nice park up there. And once you're within range, you've got to put on Uecker. And you would hope to hear him. You know, obviously he's doing the game, but a lot of times he would be on the pregame. Yeah, everybody loved that guy. And then today, going around, you would see some of the stories, the off-air stories, which are a lot better. There's some videos floating around, Norm MacDonald telling stories. Right. Yeah. A lot of stories that involve words that could not be said on these airwaves, or he would not be allowed to say them on Brewer's broadcast. But Uecker, one heck of a character for sure. I think everybody also says that.
You're telling me there's a Norm MacDonald, Bob Uecker rabbit hole out there? What you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I tweeted a video of Norm telling a Uecker story on Letterman earlier today, which is clean because it was on Letterman. It's worth your time. It also, I know some people that also shared and Artie Lang and Norm talking about hanging with Euchre for a weekend on Stern, which is a good 10 minutes.
Wow. I feel like I've seen every Norm MacDonald clip ever, but not I've never heard of this.
No, oh, yeah.
So this is great. This is very exciting news.
You should watch it. Yeah.
Very exciting news.
I think for people who do any version of what all three of us do for a living, I think there's a hat tip to Bob Euchre in order. Like I like Mike is saying, my sports, the announcers, I take it very seriously. Euchre, he wasn't the first, and there's plenty of personality within, especially baseball broadcasters, Harry Carey, you know. But I think Euchre helped make it feasible for people like us to have radio shows where it's everything isn't always super serious and it's not about the zone blitz scheme all the time or, you know, just the real serious nuts and bolts sports stuff. It's more sort of, it's fun. It's supposed to be a good time and have a laugh and whatever. And I think Euchre sort of started that ball rolling. And, like, I don't know if it's ever stopped rolling. We're in an infotainment age here, I think, but
Wagertainment,
sure, thank you.
I
think anyone who does what we do, I think, owes something to Euchre.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And you know what it does? It makes me think about something that has bothered me about baseball, I'd say, over the last decade or so. That you're right, what we do, and we try to stress entertainment, and it's not all that serious. But if you zoom out and look at a lot of the baseball broadcasts right now, it has gone in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. I'm someone that grew up watching Harry Carey every single day. So I get exactly what you're saying, and I'm all about it. But there are a lot of teams in the last decade that have said, let's just go the safe route. Let's go the baseball-y route, which is quite boring to the generation that you're trying to reach. So, yes, I do agree with you, but it's
backslid.
Gotten away from that. The personalities are leaving us, unfortunately.
The Red Sox, you know, breaking up Orsillo and Remy when they did. You know, Remy passed away since, but still, like, they didn't have to do that. And they got a more sort of baseball-y broadcast, I think, out of it. But they lost a lot of flavor, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. I thought for a second when Joe started to say what bothers me about baseball is living in a state where you can predict two Cy Young winners in the same year and not win any money. But that's me. That's what bothers me about baseball. Not
that's
Joe.
That's all the awards.
Or New York, really.
Euchre, I mean, his brand was, I sucked at baseball. You know, like Ross Tucker is somebody who kind of represents, like, I wasn't good, right? That can go a long way, too. Anyway, what an absolute legend. Joe, here we go. Ravens and Bills Sunday night divisional round. It's the best, and this game is the best, right? What does the loser of this game do about it going forward? Like, just they've both been so great. Ravens sit at -1 on the road and 51.5. What do you like?
Yeah, we can kind of point out what the narratives will probably be. Just line up with the loser. And I think a lot of people, even though it is Chiefs, Mahomes, Arrowhead likely waiting, that I think a lot of people are going to take the winner of this game and think this might be the time that the Chiefs go down. I keep bringing it up. I'm amazed that we're still here. I understand the move. I understand the backing of Baltimore. I get the argument. I get, like, if you want to look back, even though it was late September a long time ago, if you want to look at that matchup, understood. The way that the Bills' defense has been trending down in the second half of the season while the Ravens' defense has been ascending, like, to a top-notch level. Is it more schedule-based, or is it because of the changes that they've made? If you look, I think it's week 13, since week 13, that Ravens defense #1 EPA per play in the NFL. So that's a big difference. That would be another advantage for them. And I think you add all that up, and that's why they're betting the Ravens. That's why the favorite flipped. I still can't I refuse to believe that we're going to get to Sunday night and Josh Allen's going to be a home underdog in the second round of the playoffs, and it's not going to be Patrick Mahomes on the other side. I'm still shocked by that, as great as the Ravens have been this year. Very high total, 51 in the hook. I will be on Buffalo. I will be on the Buffalo Bills in this spot. It's probably going to come down to the last possession, likely a field goal game. But that's where I'm at on this one, fellas. I heard you say at the end of the last segment, you refuse to believe that Henry is going to do that again. I do too. And of course you have to point at all the Bills defenders that were out of that last game.
Right.
I think you've got to look at that. But Cook is rolling. Allen, as efficient as he was last week, 31 unanswered points. Yeah, I'm backing the Bills in this spot.
And like, you know, 10 degrees, 14 degrees at kickoff, 8 degrees by the second half. Like, it's going to be cold. It's not expected to be windy, and I don't think there's much threat of significant precipitation, if any precipitation at all. But it's going to be really, really cold. And for Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, unprecedentedly cold. Jackson's never played in a game that kicked off below 27 degrees. So... you know, I'm not the Buffalonian who puffs out my chest and like, you know, I secretly, publicly, I tell you, I wish we had a dome, okay? But we don't. And I'm interested to see what Jackson does in those conditions. We know the Bills 4 years ago, 3 years ago, excuse me, played a perfect game in the wild card round against New England in almost exactly those types of conditions.
And I think it's also, they look at Pittsburgh last week, even though I wouldn't look at that. That was a dead team walking into the playoffs. And everybody that was in that locker room, they seemed to be relieved that their season was over. So, yes, it was impressive what they did last week. Get out in front, run away. Game was over at halftime. But I wouldn't take too much from that. I mean, you extend the season, I'm not sure that the Steelers are making the playoffs the way that they were playing at the end of the season. So I for either opponent, I wouldn't take too much from last week. But can't wait. Can't wait. It's the game of the week, obviously. It might end up being the game of the playoffs.
What are you thinking about as far as like players go and props and that kind of stuff here? Mike mentioned Henry's number is like 90. What is
five
it?
And a half.
95 and a half.
Just rushing.
Just the rushing. Yeah, it's one of the highest that I've seen. Saquon last week was 103.5. He got over on the last Eagles run play.
Yeah.
The last play that they actually ran, he went over where he could have had a long touchdown run there.
Love that, don't you?
Yeah.
Love that.
I was on it. Well, I was mad because he could have hit all these alt numbers. I was big on Saquon last week. He could have gone over 150, over 175, but... takes a slide for people that did a big bet on the anytime touchdowns. That one did not hit for Saquon either. As far as the props, I got to be honest, there's not a lot that I've honed in on. I'm just bigger on the Bills for this game, at least in this one. Yeah, like we could. What I find interesting is the quarterback rushing, because we see it tick up in the playoffs in most games. It wasn't necessary for Allen last week, but he still ended up with 46, still goes over the number. It was pretty close, but I had that one. And Lamar's a similar story, the number of rushing attempts that he had last week. What do you have, 15 attempts? So I would probably look at the quarterbacks to rush over in desperate spots, I assume, throughout the entire game.
Last week, maybe you, Joe, I think Sam would be brought up, Allen and someone else, maybe Jackson, to lead, as a long shot, to lead the weekend in rushing yards.
Yeah. It had to, I think it was Sam, because I don't think we got to it.
Yeah, you would never, right? You would never. No, just kidding. So what? One of the – there are futures, like overall playoff stat bets out there, which includes rushing leader for the playoffs. Did Henry build – who's in the lead, actually? Did Henry build a lead last week?
Was yes, he the guy? He's at 186. Cook is second at 120, and Saquon's third at 119.
Okay. What do you like there?
Well, I find it interesting because in most years, you're looking for a player. Not only are you handicapping their path and how they're going to perform, but most years you need a player that's going to play four games. And so you – and most of the time you want to knock out the guys that were on bye because that's going to be very challenging. Now, a couple of years ago when it was the 2-1 seeds meeting up, it was players that played in three games that ended up being the leader. Last year, the Chiefs swept the board. It was Mahomes the passing leader, Pacheco the rushing leader, and Kelce the receiving leader. And we were talking about this today, and one thing that really stands out to me that I find interesting, the rushing leader. So Henry is the favorite, obviously has a big lead, very good team. He's minus 150 to be the playoff rushing leader. Whoever comes out of this game alive, and you're going to have the AFC Championship the following week, I would think is going to be a pretty big favorite. And you could find James Cook. So let's call it a coin flip game with Baltimore and Buffalo. Cook is 10-1, and Henry's -150. And Cook is trailing him by 66 yards.
Okay.
So Bills win. You've got another game. He's automatically going to pass up Henry. The big competition, of course, is Saquon. Saquon's +150. But I look at those numbers, and I like the Bills for the game, and Cook is 10-1. Well, yeah, I'll be jumping in on that. Fourth on the list in rushing right now is Mixon, likely to be eliminated this weekend. Where's the competition? It's only Saquon. And so Bills win. I would love my position having a James Cook 10-1 ticket.
Who do you think the bet would be if the one seeds make the Super Bowl? Then maybe it's Henry or maybe it's even Gibbs?
Yeah. Well, so what's going to happen with Montgomery?
I know he cuts in.
Yeah, he's been getting full practices in all week. Are they playing a game? Is he going to play a ton? I don't know. My first thought would be Gibbs at 10-1.
Because that's not unrealistic, right? No, that the one seeds get there.
No, not at all. Yeah, if the 2-1s get there. Yeah, Gibbs is 10-1. Montgomery 30-1. Pacheco's 50.
That is crazy. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a fun bet. It's a lot of what their fantasy thing is right now, trying to build teams with the one seeds in mind. If you can't change the lineups, you know, knowing that they're going to get zeros in the first week by not playing. Joe Ostrowski on the West Her hotline. Jerry Ostrowski, by the way, later. No relation.
Right. Who's that?
Former Bills offensive lineman.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Hilarious.
Favorite road dog this, because the Ravens are favored, favorite road dog this weekend?
Just to cover. I don't have to pick and win, right?
Whatever you like. Any way you want it.
Favorite road dog. Yes, the Rams. I think you'd have to go the Rams. But I do like the Eagles to win the game. Getting 6 points here, yeah, I'd go them.
Okay.
You know, it's...
Doesn't sound like you love any of it.
No, I don't love any of it. What I would do is I do like the favorites this weekend, at least to win. And I'll tell you how I would attack that. But just the Rams with the experience of the quarterback and the head coach, it's them getting 6 points. Hurts didn't look great last week. I assume he's going to make sure that he gets A.J. Brown back involved this time around. And if you're the Rams this week, all you're prepping, let's stop the run, guys. Week 12, Saquon had 30 touches, over 300 total yards, all by himself. Getting 6 points, man, they are scary. Seems to be a bit too much for me. So that's somewhere I would go.
Okay.
Washington's dangerous. I would assume that they're going to keep going for it on fourth down. Are there going to be any punts in that game?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Between Dan Campbell and Dan Quinn. Quinn, super aggressive. And that's why they ended up winning that game against the Buccaneers last week. It's been impressive what both of those offenses have done. You've got two OCs that are going to be up for jobs. They both could end up getting jobs here. But the Commanders, that does seem like a lot at 9.5 points, guys.
Speaking of the coaching vacancies, so Joe Brady is in this conversation too, and some of the, you know, the retread types. That's bettable where you are, maybe?
No, not anymore in Illinois, but I've certainly been looking at some of the offshore numbers at multiple sports books. Since I talk about the Bears a whole lot on the Odyssey station, 670 The Score, so everybody's tracking Ben Johnson. That's the big one. He's favored to go a couple different spots, both the Bears and the Raiders. But, you know, popping up, all these teams supposedly looking for the offensive mastermind that's going to lead them to the promised land, right? Ben Johnson, the most popular play. Mike McCarthy getting a lot of interviews this week, but Joe Brady is popping up, just like Cliff Kingsbury. Maybe not top two, top three, but in the conversation, and you know, Brady's going to be brought in for interviews at all of these spots. So I thought that you'd be interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the odds, the highest spot that I see Brady, he's the third favorite for the Saints job. McCarthy, the odds-on favorite at -250. Then Aaron Glenn, who was the favorite until today. And Joe Brady is in at third there. Jacksonville, he's listed as the fourth favorite behind Cohen, Saleh, and Ben Johnson. And, he's top six, mentioned for Chicago and Dallas. So you keep seeing Joe Brady's name attached to a lot of these vacancies right now. So figured you would think that was pretty interesting.
I get the emails from Bet Online, and it seems that the lines move every day.
They do.
How?
Like they have been.
Is there? So McCarthy, did you mention in the New Orleans example?
Right.
Yes.
Like, is there a Schefter tweet that comes out and then everybody runs to hammer whoever he's tweeting about or something?
Sometimes it's the action. Sometimes it's reaction to quote news or newsmakers. And sometimes, like most sports books, they just don't want to take bets on that anymore. I think they didn't want to take any more Vrabel to the Patriots bets. And that was a similar price. It went from -300, -400, just kept going up. That was screaming to me. Everybody knows that Vrabel's going to New England. They just don't want to take any bets anymore. And they're trying to put it in a spot where people don't want to bet it because they're going to have to bet a lot to win a little, which is usually the opposite of what most bettors want. So, yeah, it does change a lot. Tracking the Bears, it started as Kingsbury as the favorite. Then it went to Ben Johnson. Most recently, it kind of feels like they're wasting time. Yet, why are you bringing in Ron Rivera? Why? What are you doing talking to David Shaw? It feels like they're wasting time waiting for a couple of these guys to be available to hire.
It's a tough system, isn't it? I mean, coaches, they're coaching playoff games, and this is really when it has to happen for the teams that are in the market.
I can't believe Brady might be able to pull Ben Johnson into the boat in Vegas. Tom Brady. That blows my mind. Like I know who he is, and I know the hardware and all the rings, but like, is he going to be there holding his hand, helping him? Is he going to make sure they get a quarterback? Like,
who's your quarterback? Who's on your team?
Yeah.
And then he's calling the Ben Johnson game this weekend.
Right.
So the guy that can't talk to any coaches, can't.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
can't go into any facilities. How is that not a conflict of interest?
You'll know if it's 31-8 Washington and Brady is going on about how impressed he is by the Detroit game plan.
Right.
That'll be bad.
How about Deion Sanders?
Yes.
Way.
I was going to say. Deion in Dallas, is he a favorite?
He's the second favorite for the Raiders job, and he is the favorite for Dallas.
I could see it. Who says no? Jerry Jones or Deion Sanders?
I'm a little surprised that they decided to part ways with Mike McCarthy. Just what Jerry has done and how he likes to have his control, that I'm a little shocked that they opened things up here, especially when Dak, it was a year where Dak was injured, so you could always lay on that excuse a little bit. I would love to see it from a talk show perspective, entertainment perspective.
Circus, yeah, right.
Please give me that circus, and I love to see the Cowboys lose, so I would be all about that. I have no idea what they're going to do. Jason Witten in the conversation, second favorite. Kellen Moore is the third favorite. And then the Belichick story is strange, guys. I've wondered that if he was guaranteed a job, would he kind of ditch North Carolina? And there's the report that he hasn't signed the contract. They're saying, no, he's committed. Well, why isn't he signed a contract?
Just hired a couple of assistant coaches within the last, I don't know, 36 hours or so. I know I saw some chatter about that. So that maybe points in the direction of him being stable there, but who knows?
If I were a Dallas fan and perish the thought, I'd love the Deion idea. Because to me, he would be like the first guy since Parcells who wouldn't take it from Jerry Jones. He wouldn't have to. Mm-hmm. You know, he outranks Jones almost with his fame and whatever it is. Maybe outranks is the wrong word, but like... What was the vibe when they hired McCarthy? Sure.
Right? Happy to have a job.
Right. Jason Garrett. Like, you just always kind of assumed, and then you'd find out it was true, that Jones was sort of the puppet master.
The thing I'm really interested to see, if Deion Sanders does make the jump, like, does he try to pull the same, like... No negative questions. You report like
to Ed Werder?
Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
And that flew in college, barely. I mean, good luck in the NFL with that.
Nope, that ain't going to fly.
Nobody's telling him what to do.
Yeah. Who would you guys hire? Is there anybody that...
For the Bills? I've been thinking a lot about this.
Yes, have you?
No, for Dallas?
OC?
I feel like...
Well, I was thinking about Chicago, but...
For Chicago?
The offensive mind.
I like Cohen. I don't know if he's on their radar, but yeah, I think he's been really good.
He's a Jacksonville favorite.
I thought that was a super year for them. I guess it's confirmation bias, right? Because I didn't like them at all this year, but he had a good season. Mm-hmm. All right, Joe. Well, this is a great weekend. Thanks for your time, and go Notre Dame. I got to say, on Monday night, we didn't get to that here, but they're big underdogs.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Sam's got the big ticket. I've got my fandom. I bet on them to make the title game, but I'm happy I don't have to
sweat it.
Deal with that. Yeah. Yeah, with Sam's position, like he can't hedge it either because Ohio State's such a big favorite.
Thanks again, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Liam Cohen, by the way, the offensive coordinator in Tampa. I was just like, is this really happening? Without Canales leaving, he was the reclamation coach for Mayfield and. I mean, they had a great year offensively in the Buccaneers. Joe Ostrowski, host of BetQL Daily with Sam Panayotovich. You can hear Joe on Sunday mornings as well, all on the Bet 1520 and the Odyssey app. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Sal gives us his thoughts with practice today, the injuries, and more on the Ravens matchup coming up today at 5. Jerry Ostrowski. Not Joe Ostrowski, but Jerry Ostrowski will join us at 6, and we'll talk about the game as well with the former Bills lineman. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll look for your calls after the update. This is WGR.
As much as Kyle Hamilton has fixed the secondary and some of the issues with the big plays, I still think a guy like Dalton Kincaid could have a lot of opportunities attacking Roquan Smith, Trenton Simpson. And look, he's going to get matched up probably with Marlon Humphrey at times, with Hamilton. But I do think the middle of the field can be an area, maybe in that 10 to 12-yard range off the line of scrimmage, that if Buffalo can be disciplined and be forced to move the ball down the field, I do think that's one area where you can find some success.
Evan Washburn on One Bills Live from CBS. I would propose one change to that point. I think it's logical.
You can do whatever you want. I was reading social media and didn't really pay attention.
Kincaid.
Sorry.
Will we finally have the Kincaid game? I think I'd just rather predict that Knox is this player than Kincaid. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just not happening. They did get a big catch from Kincaid in the Denver game. He didn't catch the ball.
Right. But they got credit for a big catch in the Denver game. I mean,
without that play, he's 2 for 12.
Yeah.
And they're way ahead, and this is not likely to be that game. That's often the case with the
Bills. And it was encouraging to see him targeted downfield, even if he didn't actually catch the ball.
Yes. Yes, but twice this year, more than 4 catches in a game. Never more than 53 yards. What's a good game for Kincaid here? Like season highs, 6 for 50, right? I mean, okay, that's not nothing.
Getting in the end zone would be incredible.
Getting in the end zone, he has 2 touchdowns this year. What was it last year?
Be incredible. I think two.
Two?
It wasn't a lot.
So he's got 4 touchdowns, like 30 games. I don't know. I just have a tough time predicting it in fantasy. It's a running bit. Like, oh, this is the week. Okay. Love to see it, but Knox still has a role, you know, hand down role, and then also the occasional target. So,
yeah, it feels like that is familiarity, comfort, whatever you want. Like, I think you see Allen, it's funny, watching back even some of the highlights, like we're passing anniversaries of playoff games. And so the New England game from a few years ago that's come up already a couple of different ways today. There's the first touchdown of that game is a play, you know, it's first and goal somewhere down, I don't know what yard line, but they're near the end zone. And Allen's typically buying time, and he rolls out to his right, and he's gesturing, and then throws it. You think maybe he's throwing it away, but it's Knox jumping straight up in the air at the back pylon and coming down with it. Maybe those types of plays, the scramble type plays, Knox knows like where to go, how to get Allen's attention. Maybe in a way that Kincaid just has not unlocked yet. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's just reps and, again, comfort, familiarity. I don't think it would be crazy at all to expect Knox to have a bigger impact. You know, whether that's volume or even just, like I'm saying, scramble plays at the goal line. Allen has found his way to him more often than he's found his way to Kincaid. You know, historically speaking.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's still not quite, it's not much either, but, you know, in the past, yes, like in that playoff example. Alex is next. Hello, Alex.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to going to the game on Sunday. So I just have a question, and I'll support, an explanation as to why I'm asking it. So my question is there a script that you can see where the Bills win with what I'll call a slower start? Because that has me concerned, right? And one of the themes that I've seen from the year is that it's almost been by design, maybe a little bit by McDermott, to kind of see what the offense has and then make adjustments, just like we did against Denver. It worked, obviously, foolproof against Denver, where we made some adjustments and they didn't do anything for the rest of the game. I would assume that is not a strategy that we're going to be, kind of backing off on defense those first couple, maybe the first set of down or, first drive for them, for Baltimore to see kind of what they're doing and then make adjustments. I don't know that we can afford that, obviously just from a strategy and also just from a momentum standpoint. So question is for you guys, do you see a game script where, we get off to a slow start and still win the game?
Sure. I think anything could happen. You know, we've seen plenty of examples in this sport, in this league, where you go into a game expecting one thing and get the other. That can be the conditions, that can be the team's familiarity with one another and their ability to, expect or suspect what's coming and be ready for it. I don't think it's my most likely outcome, but it's not far-fetched at all that this game could be a first half like last week's Denver game was, where, you're just feeling each other out. Nobody wants to make a big mistake. It's really cold. Handling the ball is a little tricky. Whatever. I mean, to me, that's not crazy. And like we saw with the Bills, at least their end of it, they still got the 31 points eventually. Like, to me, you could have a low-scoring game. You could have a slow starting, low-scoring first half that gets crazy in the second half. It's not out of the question at all to me. Like it, I think the notion that it is sort of plays into this idea that the Ravens are just going to come in here and they're just going to be too much for the Bills. And look, that is in the window, right? They might be able to just move the ball at will, which is going to force you to have to do the same, and that's where you get your 41-38 kind of crazy, you know, just back and forth 13 seconds type game. But the alternative to that, a slower game, is not by any means in my mind out of the question. It would be surprising, more surprising than the shootout, but like I let off with, it happens all the time. In sport, we think like these offenses are just going to eat each other alive, and then you get to the game, and it's just for whatever reason, it just doesn't produce what you thought it was going to produce.
The total for this game is 51.5 points. Baltimore minus one, 51.5. So 26.25, 25.25. That's the betting line for this game. When these teams played in the playoffs 4 years ago, with fewer than 7,000 fans in the stadium, so you didn't have like a crowd noise element. I know it was loud for 6,000 people, but still, like you did not have what's coming on Sunday night. It was cold and windy, which we knew it would be. 34 degrees, 13 miles an hour wind. I remember the game, like gust. Both kickers missed two field goals. Like Tucker was missing. The wind was a problem. The total was 49.5. So 4 years ago, could have been like,
we had that
geez,
game,
you know,
right?
The Ravens are so good. They didn't have Derrick Henry, but still, like, they're so good. What is this game? Can the Bills start slowly and win it? That game, the final score was 17-3.
That game was 10-3 with, like, 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, or even less than that. Jackson throws that pick six to Taron Johnson.
Minute left.
With late in the third quarter. Right. That makes it 17-3. Yeah, I mean, there it is. There's that game. I'm glad you knew that or looked that up, had the total from that game, because I think we were expecting, you know, we were expecting offense, and we didn't get it.
Yeah, that implied total would have been like 26-23 Bills. 26-23.5 Bills. Very close. Plus same ref.
Cheffers?
Cheffers the ref. Ref Cheffers. He has this game, right?
Yes.
That's not really germane to the to the point, as far as I know.
Are his games higher scoring or lower scoring? What is his crew against the spread, against the total?
I bet Warren would know. Warren Sharp football analysis. It's got to be there. Who gets the penalties? How many? High scoring, low scoring, all that stuff. Which, if I were a referee, I would totally have it in my mind. All right, what are my tendencies and how do I break them at all times? If the home team always wins and I'm the ref and it's the playoffs and everybody's talking about that, I tell you what, look out, guys, because it's the worst thing for a referee. Is if there's some expectation that the game would be slanted in one direction, even if it's harmless. You know, you wouldn't want that. I could be perfectly honest, like I'm sure they all are. I'm saying that. I'm sure they all are. But somebody's reffed games this year where the home team is 15-2, probably. Like, that's probably happened. And if I were that ref, I would just be beside myself, because like, what did I do wrong here? What is this supposed to? This means that I'm biased for the whole. I'm not. Watch me. I'm calling everything in this game against the home team. Well, anyway, 803-0550. Thanks for the call, Alex. Sal in 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. WGR. Welcome back. Sal Capaccio at the top of the hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll chat with friend of ours and former Bills offensive lineman Jerry Ostrowski later in the show. Former Bills offensive lineman is many of our guests. That is a good chunk of our guests.
Yes, that's right.
Played offensive line for the Bills at one time.
Yeah.
Right now, it is time for My Fresh Picks, brought to you by Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet. Score big with Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet, where every meal is a touchdown. I'm just going to mention a couple of the props. We've talked about one already. Is Derrick Henry under 95 and a half rushing? Go get it, my man. I'll take the under on that. I mean, we know what is it's possible. We know it's possible. He could double that. He did. Yep. He more than doubled that the first time they played this year. But I, again, would just be shocked if the Bills' defense weren't better prepared for that. They're not undermanned like they were in that game at home. The timing element with the home crowd, I think, could be significant. Just it's such a timing. Jackson, all his stuff is just so precise. And I feel like that could be tougher for like a problem for them mm-hmm. on the road here. So I'll go under on Henry. It's such a big number. A guy could have a fine game. And if they're down in the game, how many carries is he getting? Is he right. getting 20 carries mm-hmm. if they're losing? So under on him. And this one pains me a little bit because I'm always sort of backing this guy. But I feel like Mark Andrews under 3.5 catches is probably a good play. If I were Baltimore, the tight ends would be like huge for me in this game. People have been calling in like the Bills on defense here. Just it's been said so many times about Lamar's teams, but if they don't have Flowers, go dare him to throw the ball 20 yards downfield in the cold, you know, in the playoffs on the road. Let's see him do it. I mean, that's a big play if he can. Mm-hmm. I don't like the receivers at all. They're bringing up Anthony Miller now to play with Flowers out. It's Aguilar and Bateman. Bateman to me seems a little bit like a delicate flower. Like he has made some big plays for them, but the Browns game, he did come back in the game to his credit. That might be too harsh, but he just took sort of a normal looking hit and was down for 5 minutes in that game. He's had injuries throughout his still pretty short NFL career.
Andrews in his career against the Bills has very modest numbers.
Right. Zero in the first meeting this year.
Yeah, that was before they remembered he was on their team, I think.
Yep.
As, right. as the season sure. unfolded. They got a memo at somebody like, oh, we can throw the ball to that guy. Yeah.
The only guy, I don't know if I like any player in this game to catch four or more passes. But the only guy on the Bills over 2.5 maybe is Shakir. I like the idea of Cooper last week. All those guys are 1.5, 1.5. Kincaid might be 3.5, which I don't love that either.
Yeah.
But I like Likely here for Baltimore more than I like Andrews. I think if it's a great night for the Ravens, Andrews maybe catches a touchdown pass. He didn't have much for catches and targets this year, but he got in the end zone like 10, 11 times despite that. So he might have been the target on the Taron Johnson play. As well,
like ooh, I don't remember, but it would make sense if he were.
He is the guy in the red zone. You know what else they do? This goes back. This is more Derrick Henry than it is the Ravens. But you've seen Henry on like goal to go, start up the middle from the shotgun and then stop and throw a pass toward the goalpost.
That'd be an Andrews play there. Yeah,
could be, or a lineman, or Jackson catches it.
Sure.
But that's a play that Derrick Henry has pulled off a number of times.
They're waiting to unveil that in the 8-degree cold on Sunday.
I'll probably pick one of these Bills receivers, maybe Samuel, to go over what'll be a pretty small number.
Yeah.
So some fresh-ish picks that are definitely pro-Bills.
Look at you.
Henry under, Andrews under, maybe Samuel over. There it is.
I appreciate, like, I think the number is stunning, the number on Henry. For me, like, it's not the same thing. Like, I would take 110 yards. Like, if he's coming into this game and that's it, it probably means it's a close enough game, you know, unless he runs for 60 yards early or something on one big one and ends up. But, like, 110 is a number I can live with. 150, 180, no. Like no. that's a game that I think has gotten away from you.
You're losing.
Probably, yeah. But 110, like I could see that. Like if it's close, he's on the field a lot, because when they're down, like he's not even on the field. So it's close, he's there. 110, like I would sign for that right now. I don't know that the Bills would or McDermott would. Myself, I would take that. If I'm sitting here talking post game with you, I feel like the Bills have a good chance of winning a game where he's got 110 yards.
I might like a Jackson over 52.5, I think is around that number. He and Allen are pretty close. I wonder about, like, I see Milano and Bernard and just the discipline of the Bills. He's not going to get out, you know, all the time. I wouldn't expect that. But if he does it once and he's running against Rapp or somebody, like,
yep.
One play. Can't wait. Sunday night, Bills and Ravens. Sal Capaccio next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.